Matthew chapter 11. In your Bibles, please, in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Oftentimes, people have troubles. I don't know, have you ever met anybody that's had troubles? I suppose we have a time or two, right? I said, I saw somebody the other day. I mean, they looked right there. They're right there in the mirror. that person had plenty of troubles, I'll tell you. But the fact is, here we have the Lord speaking to somebody that has troubles. And he says in verse 28, this is where we're at in verse 28, can you imagine him, can you picture him saying this? He's saying, come unto me, all right? He's literally saying, come here. Come here, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All you that got problems and difficulties, come here. Come here. He said, and I'll give you something in return. He said, and I will give you what? Rest. Think about that. God is actually indicating that rest is a gift. Well, that's fairly incredible, wouldn't you say? I'm convinced that when you do the research on rest in the Word of God, you're going to be quite impressed with this. Because if the average child of God actually embraced this concept of rest, it would totally change their focus. It would help them to understand more of what God's actually trying to say. For instance, let me just say this. A few years back, I was sitting at the table of a song leader down in Texas, and his wife was there, and all of a sudden, somehow it came out that he doubted his salvation. Can you imagine that? The song leader of the Baptist Church doubting his salvation? It happened. These things kind of happen more than you care to admit. But, wow. And so I'm talking to him, and I'm just explaining to him this incredible thing about having faith, all right? You know, the Word of God tells us to have faith, or he answered all the right questions, so he's as much saved as anybody I've ever talked to that's ever asked the Lord to come into their heart and save their soul. And so we went down the line. We just took care of one thing after another. And so I said, trust, all right? Trust, that's what is faith? Well, that's trust. So you try to explain. I mean, what's the action of the word faith? How do you explain faith to somebody? How do you make that happen? What's the mechanics of faith? What's the engine that runs it? Or what's the engine that runs trust? So we come up with another word that surely everybody would know what this is, the word believe. Everybody knows what believe is. I mean, how do you actually, what's the engine that runs this thing called believe? I mean, how do you do that? Do you just sit there and just kind of groan and is that believing? No, that's not believing. But the Word of God has absolutely a definition to this thing. So having said that, I'm going to just kind of let that sit in your mind for a little bit and take you to verse 29, where it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. All right? So he says, when you do this, ye shall find rest. Now, why is the word find there? Well, because you only find something if you're looking for it, right? So apparently, here's a soul looking for rest. All right? Looking for rest. And so he's literally saying, he's not talking about a physical rest, because this is a rest unto your soul, right? That's what it says there. Now, I am convinced that there are a lot of people that sit in churches like ours that are sitting in a church pew and their soul is not, I repeat, their soul is not at rest. So often in turmoil, so often in confusion, sometimes, and maybe altogether far more than we care to admit, they're presently running from God. Can you imagine that? Somebody sitting in a church pew and running from God. It happens. It happens all the time. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And so the Lord says, he says, come unto me. Come unto me and learn of me. Come unto me, he says, and I, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rest unto your soul. All right? And obviously he could say, verse 30, everybody would understand what he says in verse 30. The Lord says, for my yoke is easy, well, of course, and my burden is light. Well, we can understand that too. Well, the Lord says, well, then just join up with me. You and I will work together. We'll work together. I mean, what is a yoke? Well, that's a place you put a head in on one side and a head in on the other side. All right, so this is the indicator. Now, you are going to work together with the Lord, with the Lord. Could you have greater company? Not on this side of heaven. I'm telling you, it's just absolutely incredible. You couldn't have greater company. Wow, truly, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. So we see this thing called rest, all right? Having shared that with you, I'm going to take you to the book of Hebrews. And as we go here to Hebrews, we're going to go to chapter 4. In Hebrews, if you would, as we look to verse number 1, Hebrews 4 and verse 1, here the Word of God says, let us. You get the idea when you get into the book of Hebrews, it's about us, it's about us, it's about us. And so therefore, you are included, you're as much a part of this. So I have to also say this too, because this is a lot more of what I'm doing now these days when I'm sharing the Word of God with folks, is to simply say, now you prayed that the Lord would speak, right? Well, amen. We prayed, Lord, speak to our hearts. Well, then we need to finish the prayer out by saying, and Lord, help me to listen. I think a lot of times God is speaking, just hasn't found anybody that listened yet. And then when it's time to make a decision, give me the strength to make a decision. That's the completer of it, you see. The idea is that not everybody is all they ought to be for God. And that's a general consensus. So if we're not all we ought to be for God when we walk into the house of God, it's possible that the Spirit of God is going to speak to the people of God. So since that's the case, then I should come to church prepared. I should come to church prepared to listen to what God has to say. He's probably going to speak to me. He's probably going to tell me some things maybe I'm going to be a little bit uneasy about. But this is all about, I'm not who it is all I ought to be, so I'm coming to the house of God to fix that. So I need to come prepared to make choices and decisions, because God is probably going to speak to my heart. He is going to speak from his word, and I just know that he's going to say something that is going to help me in my heart, life, and soul. So I need to come ready to make a choice and a decision for the Lord. And I'm convinced the average person that comes and sits in the pew is not of that mindset. They have the mindset that says, well, I'm going to come see what the preacher's got to say today and see if it's anything worth listening to. Now, that's the wrong mindset, the wrong spirit. You don't want to go there. You don't want to touch that. That's not the way to go. God doesn't come with that mindset. You realize that God comes with a mindset of changing the people that need changing. I mean, who better to know that we need changing than God does? And so he says here, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his, and the next word is what? Rest. Entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Come short of what? Come short of his rest. So many of you can safely say, well, preacher, that's me. I am in the rest of God. I am rested in Christ Jesus. Should we be? Absolutely. That's God's plan. When should we be? Well, it should have been yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. And by the way, we should be that way today. And probably we're supposed to be that way tomorrow too. So that means 24/7, be at rest in God. In spite of all the problems, all the troubles, all the difficulties, here, there, and wherever, my soul, needs to be at rest with God. And so, having said that, moving right on in verse number 2, there's two groups of people here that we see. For he says here, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. So we got the us's and we got the them's. That's the two groups of people. And so as far as the us's are concerned, the word of God profited us because we applied it by faith. But them, oh no, it didn't profit them. They didn't mix it with faith. It's what it says here, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Wow. All right. So this thing about faith, it has a direct connection to the word believe, as well as it to the word trust. But as we enter into verse 3, it says here in verse 3, for we which have, what? Believed. Okay? Get this now. This is where the exciting part makes its entrance. For we which have believed do enter into what? Ah, there it is. There is the key that unlocks. That unlocks the definition of faith. All right? You notice last, right up to the part of verse 2, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Uh-huh. All right? Which is literally simply saying to you and me that when we believe, we are now exercising the energy required to believe, which is rest. The energy of believing is rest. The energy of faith is rest. The energy of trust is rest. Absolutely resting in God. I'm not going to wonder anymore. I'm not going to fret anymore. Am I saved or am I not? Am I saved today? Will I be saved tomorrow? How do I know I'm saved now? If I've done everything that God wants, if I just learn how to rest in the promise of God. Is God going to take care of me today? Will he watch over me? Oh, I just don't know. I'm just so fretful. I remember as I was a manager at a department store and when I went to Bible college, I had a young lady from the same Bible college who was working for us. And I was talking about the rapture and how the Lord was coming back, you know, making these. She said, oh, don't say that. She was a beautiful young lady and looked like she had everything together. But every time I talked about the Lord, she'd say, well, don't say that. I said, well, what's the matter? She said, well, you know, sometimes I think I'm saved and sometimes I just don't know. And so she's, and we've talked, I've talked about it with my pastor, talked to it with somebody at school, I'm just so beside myself. And here's a young lady who just is not rested in her soul. She doesn't know how to rest in the promises of God, all right? This is what faith is all about. Leaving it to God. Letting God take care of what's his business and keep our grammys out of his business. Why? Because, can God do a better job than we? Absolutely. God can do a better job than we. So don't be messing it up by putting your little bitty fingers in there and trying to run the show, because we will mess it up. How do we know? We've done that, preacher. We know what that's like. We have absolutely full understanding. And so he says here, for we which have believed do enter into rest. So I explained this to this fellow down in Texas. And I hope that he grasped that and got that concept. This man was in his mid-50s. And so, but this is serious business. This thing about having trust, having rest, resting in God, having rest to our soul inside us. And I'm telling you, when we can rest in our soul, we can rest physically too. Yes, yes. Have you ever gone to bed at night so tired you just knew you're going to go to sleep, but then all of a sudden your mind starts racing and your body's still tired and it just didn't want to let you go to sleep? I mean, you talk to yourself, so would you go to sleep? Don't you know you're tired? I mean, this is nonsense. What are you doing here? Why are you staying awake? And so the same thing is with us. You know, we got stuff going through our minds, stuff just turmoil in our hearts, and we're one way and we're another way, and we're not at rest in our soul. So God invented rest so that we could be rested in here. All right? And it's yours for the taking. It's going to require a little effort. Why? Because you're going to have to put some energy to this. What I'm saying is that you need to put some research and search this thing out called rest. And this is what you call leaning on God, all right? Leaning on God. Now, having said that, we're going to kind of wind this down here, going to another verse over here in Jeremiah, all right? I'm going to go to the Old Testament now in Jeremiah chapter 6. If you would, please, as we go to Jeremiah chapter 6, and notice this as we go to verse number 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Here's what God's word says. Thus saith the Lord. All right? So who's speaking? That's God. All right? God is speaking. Amen? And amen. So as he speaks, he says this. All right? Now he's going to tell us what to do. Now I'm going to put this out there again. So often we get folks that when they get saved, they say, okay, now what next? I have no idea what to do. What do you do now? So listen up. This is God speaking. He's telling you what to do. All right? First thing, there's three things here he wants you to do. First thing is stand. Hey, hip, hip, stand. All right? But the stand means that we are to take a position on the Word of God and stay there, all right? In other words, take the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and stay on the Word of God. Stay on the Word. Make the Word of God your position. Believe what it says and practice what it says and stay with what it says. So he's literally saying, stand. And he's saying it this directly to us, stand ye. Stand ye. That's what he's saying right here. And he says, in the ways. All right? Stand ye in the ways. What ways? In the ways of the Word of God. Stand in the ways of the Word of God. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stand with it. And I'm going to kind of interject here and kind of jump down to infer what the commas here is actually saying. We're going to make our way back. But it says here, and when we do, it says, and ye shall find, there's that word find because we've been looking for it, and ye shall find what? Rest. we shall find rest unto your souls. Why? Because I'm standing in the ways. I'm standing where I'm supposed to be. I'm trusting in the Word of God. And that enables me to rest in my soul. Wow, that's huge. When I'm living right, walking right, standing on the premises, on the standards of the Word of God, I then find rest in my soul. And then going back up here, then he says, stand ye in the ways, and then he says, and see. Stand and then see. In other words, he's saying, I've given you two eyes, but you're not using them for the purpose I give them to you. He said, I want you to look around you and see things that you're not otherwise seeing. There are things in front of you you can't even see. There are things that are out there that are not even visible to you. You somehow, you're off in la-la land. You ever meet anybody like that? Well, God's talking to people who are in la-la land. He said, these things that you're missing the point. You got to open your eyes. You have to see what I'm trying to say. I want you to see all the issues and the difficulties and the problems and all of the things that I'm trying to point out. And I also want you to see how I handle them and how I meet your needs in these days and times. So I want you to open your eyes. Isn't that what we sing that song? Open thine eyes, my eyes that I may see, right? Right? Open my eyes, because Lord, it's possible. Would that be a prayer request, wouldn't it? Get on your knees and pray, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Is it possible, Lord, that there are things going on in my life or not far from me that are right in front of me, but I can't see it? But I can't see it. And so this is God literally saying, and when you see these things, they'll bring rest to your soul. And then he says, not only that, but he says, it says here, stand ye in the ways and see. And then he says, and ask. So we get to stand, we get to see with our eyes, we get to ask. Ask. Okay, now we have to say something with our mouth. We have to talk now, all right? Ask. Ask for the old paths. Wow. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And the Word of God has always been accused of being old-fashioned. The old-fashioned way. We sing about it, and we sing about it as a good thing. But the world plays it out as something that's old and archaic, outdated, and we don't do that stuff anymore. That's not the way we do it anymore. This is a modern day. The reality is that's a lie, because in every day that's ever existed, can I say this? In any day that's ever existed, it was always a modern day. Always. Oh, in 1936, that was a modern day. But we're talking about it and say, wow, that's a long time ago. Yes, indeed. But wow, I mean, this is a big deal. And you notice as he was saying this, and we look, he says, wherein is the good way? That's where you belong. That's where you find rest unto your soul. Absolutely. And then he says, where is the good way? And then he said, walk therein. Now just don't discover the good way. He said, once you've discovered it, get in there. Get and walk therein, he said. Get in there and go. Get in there and do. Get in there and be. Get in there and do all. And then you'll find rest unto your soul. That was the ingredient. That was the key. That was the blessing. And wow, it sure would be nice if we could have just chopped off the last The last sentence of that verse, because the last sentence is just so pathetic. Their response to it. Here's what they said. They said, "We will not walk therein." Talk about bold and brazen. We will not walk therein. We're not going to do it. I mean, we got lots of people that are actually saying that without saying it specifically with their mouths. They just simply don't walk therein and don't ever say it. But here's people that say, "Lord, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do what you say." Would you say they're asking for trouble? Yeah, they're asking for trouble. Will they get it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a payday. But the fact of the matter is, there's rest to those who seek it, and they'll find it. There's rest to your soul. And so none of us need to come short of it. We just simply need to embrace it. Resting. I mean, what's the science behind resting? I mean, is there some sort of a technique that you do? I mean, do you lay one foot down first and the other leg over here? I mean, how do you do this resting thing? Where you're totally at peace? How do you make that happen? And there's a lot of people that don't have a clue how that comes together. They don't have a clue. And so you explain to them. I mean, they come to you with their hair pulled out, basically, and they got this look of bewilderment all over themselves, and they want an answer from God, just like this man called me up one day, when I was at the first church I was pastoring. He said, "I want you to know that I'm an alcoholic. I just picked your name out of the phone book. I'd never met him before. He'd never met me before." He said, "But I'd like, if you could, to come over and show me how I can not be an alcoholic anymore." And I said, "Well, I've got the answer." So I came over, and I proceeded to tell him what the answer was. God's answer, and that is to be saved. Look and lean on Jesus. He said, "That's not what I'm looking for. I want some 1, 2, 3, and that's all I need. That's some answer that'll help me, and I'll be better." He didn't want God. And then I said, "Well, I guess that what I have is not what you want, but it's the answer you need." But he wasn't going to accept the Lord. He didn't want to go God's way. Trying to figure out, why would he even call me then, since he wanted some religious man to come and talk to him? Didn't get saved, didn't turn his heart over to the Lord. So I don't know whatever happened to that man. It's just a shame and sad. But here we are. Do we want rest? Do we want to just lean on the Lord? Can we be rested? God says we can. Would it be a miracle? Well, sure it would be. But you and God can work it out. Lord, give me the power, the ability to be at rest. To be at rest. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, shall we, as we look to the Lord in prayer and put our faith in God as we notice the Lord really means what he says in every possible conceivable mindset, every possible way. So I would say to you here this afternoon, as the Lord would speak to your heart and draw you to himself, I'll not even ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to just simply say a word of prayer, turn it over to the preacher, and he can take the invitation where he wants to. So as we look to the Lord, Father, would you bless now in this moment in time that you've given to us. Lord, this incredible answer that seems like anybody should be able to figure this out, because how hard could it be to rest? And Lord, yet it seems that we've practically made that impossible. And I just ask, Lord, that somehow you'd work in hearts and lives, that they'll embrace and they'll understand this concept, because it will literally minister to their hearts and help them to perceive and understand the goodness that you have placed before each and every one of us, that by the mercy of God, we would in every way lean on you and trust you for everything you'd have for us. And we'll thank you for it all, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.